So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
Freedom?
Hello everyone and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the TFR radio network from a cabin high atop a mountain ridge somewhere in Appalachia. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. Hey folks, and welcome back to Freedom Rings. Let me get started this week with some kind of odd news. There is apparently a death row inmate in the state of Georgia who has requested that he be executed by a firing squad. Have you heard about this, folks? He says lethal injection would be too painful for him. Now, this guy is a convicted murderer. His name is J.W. Ledford Jr., and he apparently takes a pain medication that's called gabapentin, hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, and he claims it's changed his brain chemistry so much that the lethal injection drug pentobarbital, it's a long word anyway, this drug might not make him unconscious and would then cause him to suffer an excruciating death. And this is all according to documents that were filed by his attorney in U.S. District Court. Now, his attorney says, Mr. Ledford proposes that the firing squad is a readily implemented and more reliable alternative method of execution that would eliminate the risks posed to him by lethal injection. Well, I don't know. You know, this is one of those things where you look at this guy's a convicted murderer. The people that he killed did suffer. Should we let them suffer too? Or should we make it as quick and painless as possible? I mean, there's sometimes that, I mean, these things have been botched so horribly recently that, I mean, it does actually come down to being tortured to death. So I don't know. That's one of those things to think about. But the Georgia Attorney General's office said that there was no proof a firing squad would be less painful and contended there was no substantial risk that he would actually suffer severe pain in an execution that was brought about by lethal injection. And the state has also questioned the timing of Ledford's arguments because he's scheduled to be executed very, very shortly. Now, the plaintiff has waited until the eve of his execution to suddenly claim that he has been treated for pain with medication that will allegedly interfere with his execution, the state's attorneys wrote in a deposition. If the plaintiff really thought the firing squad was a reasonable alternative, then he could have alerted the state years ahead of time instead of 5 days prior to his execution. Well, that does make sense, and obviously, this does sound like a last-ditch attempt to delay this, and Ledford's attorneys do actually concede that they don't expect their legal strategy to work. But, hey, you got to do what you pay to do, right? Well, legal precedent only allows him to suggest an alternative form of execution which is actually allowed by the state of Georgia. But unfortunately for him, the state only authorizes lethal injection. And his attorney said that Ledford's dilemma illustrates why the standard is unworkable. Now, his attorneys have asked that a judge grant a declaratory judgment that Georgia's use of lethal injection violates Ledford's Eighth Amendment rights, to grant an injunction preventing the state from proceeding with an execution using pentobarbital and prevent the state from discontinuing Ledford's use of his pain medication. Now, what got him in here in the first place was back in 1992. I mean, he's been on death row now for 25 years. And back in 1992, he was convicted of killing his neighbor, who was an elderly fellow by the name of Dr. Harry Buchanan Johnston Jr., and this took place in Maury County, Georgia, on January 31st, 1992. So this has been going on for a long time. Now, in the past 10 years, he claims he's suffered nerve pain in his back, hips, and legs, and yada, 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 yada. So he's on this medication. It's called gabapentin, and it's commonly marketed under the brand name of Neurontin. And it's apparently used to treat epilepsy and neuropathic pain. But his lawyers say that gabapentin alters a person's brain chemistry by making brain receptors more receptive to the drug itself and less receptive to other drugs, which includes the pentobarbital. So again, this is all just going in circles here. Let's see. Now, the reason that they're using this pentobarbital is a lot of states have been using that, and the drug makers didn't want them using it, so they switched over to midazolam. And that is, right now, it's the one that they're using because these states have banned all these other ones. But that's the one that everybody's having problems with. Now, critics claim that it's a sedative, but it's not a pain-killing anesthetic, which means that whoever was condemned would actually suffer tortuous pain from the drugs that come next. And if you remember, I've talked to you about this before, folks, about what you actually feel when you're under, and it's the same thing that your pet goes through when you put them to sleep, which is why it's so important to be there to hold them. Now, a lot of inmates have been executed with midazolam. They've gone into convulsions, and they've just been gasping for air. And there was a guy in Arizona in 2014 where one witness said that it was like watching a fish laying on the shore gulping for air, and it took him almost 2 hours to die. So again, that's where it comes down to one of these things. I mean, honestly, I really don't care how he killed people. 2 hours is being tortured to death. That is not an execution. That is being tortured to death. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on this, folks? There's only three states left that still allow firing squads, and that's Mississippi, Oklahoma, and Utah. They still have lethal injection as the primary method in all three of those states, but they do still allow it. Now, I know at one point, I think it was the state of Oregon, made you pick your own form of execution. So, geez, I don't know. Let's see, it's only three people have been executed in the state of Utah by firing squad since 1976, and the last one took place in July of 2010. And apparently what they do there is they tie you to a chair, and they've got sandbags stacked up around it, which keeps the bullets from ricocheting, and they put a target over your heart. Five shooters were set up, this is for the one in 2010, five shooters were set up at a distance of 21 feet from the inmate, armed with 30 caliber Winchester rifles. Old-fashioned 30-30s, folks. Wow. One rifle was loaded with blanks so that no one knew which officer had killed the inmate. The inmate was pronounced dead 2 minutes after he was shot. Yeah, that's a whole lot quicker, 2 minutes as opposed to 2 hours. But I don't know, folks. What do you think? If you had to actually choose your own form of execution, what would you take? I mean, how big of a decision is that? I mean, that's the biggest decision of your life, obviously. But the choice between lethal injection, firing squad, gas chamber, the electric chair, or hanging? I mean, you know, which one of those would you pick? I mean, that's a hard decision to make. And I really don't know. I think the most humane way to go, really, is hanging. If it's done right, it is over and done with instantly, and you never know what happened. The guillotine was supposed to be the most humane, and that was one I forgot to include. And why? I should have remembered that, because the United States government has purchased 50,000 guillotines for some odd reason, which I've discussed with you before. But even the guillotine As quick as that is, sometimes it's so quick that the head does not die, and for 30 seconds up to a minute, sometimes the brain continues to live. The head is still alive, and the person is trying to speak or scream or communicate or whatever, and that's got to be absolutely freaky to try and watch that. But I don't know. Think about that. How would you choose your own form of execution? Because I've thought about this a lot of times myself, and if I really had to choose, I honestly don't know. I think it would come down to a difference, you know, a choice between hanging and the firing squad. I know what lethal injection is like and how it burns. I wouldn't want to go through that. Gas chamber, it's over pretty quick, but it's kind of horrible for those few seconds where you've inhaled all of that cyanide, is a huge burning in your lungs and you can't get any air in. And then, of course, the electric chair has to be absolute. Man, I don't know. You know, I've been electrocuted a couple times, and that was very unpleasant. So I don't know. I think it would come down to a choice between the firing squad and hanging. But that's one of those things. Fortunately, it's something that hopefully none of us will ever have to make that decision. But I don't know. That's an odd thing. All right, let's get on to something else here. Executions and that, I don't know. It's just, it's interesting, but it's still kind of bizarre. So here's some odd but good news out of Bronx, New York. An 8-year-old girl apparently had her hijab ripped off her head by a substitute teacher in her elementary school. So yeah, that's really good news. It's about time this really started happening, because these people come over here saying, this is how we do it in our homeland, and well, you know, this is not your homeland. This is America. You do what we do here, and we don't wear scarves over our faces unless we're walking into a Quickie Mart to hold it up. Now, this was done by a substitute teacher. He was a 31-year-old guy. Jeez. Aghenahedagaida. Oof. I don't know what he... I don't know. That's one of those names that looks like it could be Indian or African or something. I don't know. But apparently, according to... I'm just going to call him Ida. The girl was sitting in the teacher's chair in the classroom. She refused to get out, and she was generally being disruptive and misbehaving. So Ida says that he tapped the girl on the arm and asked her to move, but she refused. So that's when he told her he was going to remove her hijab. And he did. And apparently he did so with a little bit more force and injured her right eye. It was scary, she told the Daily News. Now, her father is named Mohammed Ezzakari, and he's a grocer from Yemen, who added, I didn't expect a teacher to do that to a child. She's okay right now, but kids, they're nervous. Well, you should be. If you're not going to act American, then you're not going to be treated like an American. Unfortunately, Ida was immediately removed from the school and fired as soon as the incident was reported. And a Department of Education spokesman called the alleged incident completely unacceptable. Well, I disagree. I think it's about time. Now, the hijab is both the name of that scarf, that veil, as well as the practice of wearing it. I did not know this. I always thought it was just the veil itself. But according to ACLU, both the First and 14th Amendments of the Constitution bar federal and state governments from making laws or rules that specifically prohibit women from practicing hijab. Okay. Maybe that prohibits you from discriminating against them and barring you from practicing it. But when it comes to being in public, if somebody sees you wearing this thing on your face, they're not going to know who you are. They're going to automatically assume that you're a terrorist, and you're bringing this upon yourselves by doing this. Now, the ACLU has said that Muslim women who practice hijab are more likely to experience discrimination than those who don't. Obviously. With 69% of hijabi women reporting at least one incident of discrimination compared with 29% of Muslim women who did not practice hijab and have incurred at least one incident of discrimination. And of course, they're wailing here that, you know, after the election of President Donald J. Trump, there has been a rash of reported incidents involving hijabi women experiencing harassment across the country, including harassment in schools. And they're citing here that this past February, a young woman in a Houston area high school reported being told by her school that she would be required to provide a written note from a religious cleric to be permitted to wear her hijab at school. That's not an unreasonable request. Now, the school superintendent later on tweeted an apology after news of the hijab permission slip went public. But, you know, it's time that we really start taking this nation back, folks. I mean, we all know that this country was founded on rules of Judeo-Christian principles. Now, people do mistake the word Judeo in there as being Jew. And, of course, if you go back far enough, you understand the original Jews or who we now call Christians. I'm not going to get into that on here. But my point is, Muslim countries are dictated by Muslim rules. America is dictated by Judeo-Christian rules. They are completely different. If you want to come here, that's fine. But when in Rome, do as the Romans do. If you come to the United States, then you damn well better start acting like an American, speaking like an American, and dressing like an American. Gotta take a break. I'll be back in a couple of minutes.
30 years from now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Hello, this is Attorney Jason Robb. Have you ever thought of remembering the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, your will or trust? We are deeply appreciative of the help and support our friends have given to this important work over the years. The support towards this holy mission of bringing a message of hope and deliverance to our people must continue even after you are gone. Our race, faith, and nation are worth every sacrifice we can make. We must continue the struggle until America has been delivered from the vice of death. Our children are depending on it. Email me at jasonrobb@windstream.net and I will help you to continue your fight for our future upon your death.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
From electric outages to the zombie apocalypse, get your survival tips from Prepper Bob. He's the world's biggest Boy Scout, and he's only right here. Only on the Prepper Bob Show, and only on KKKRadio.com. That's the Prepper Bob Show. Check your local listings at KKKRadio.com. And remember to always be prepared.
Gay Pride Days, school assemblies, posters on the wall. It's in our face every day. What's a white Christian teen to do? And does anyone really care? Listen each week to White Youth Focus, where teens discuss the propaganda war against them. Moderated by caring and thoughtful white Christian activists, Billy and Charity. Because it's okay to be white and proud.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. We'll be right back. So what do you think of this latest missile launch and test by North Korea over the past weekend? In case you're not familiar with it, North Korea once again defying all calls to rein in its weapons program has fired a ballistic missile, and it landed in the sea near Russia. Now, this happened on Sunday, and I think it was the Sea of Japan, but it actually landed closer to Russia than it did to Japan. And now the Russians are starting to bristle at this. And it's about time the Russians got pissed off at this guy. Now we just have to do something that's going to get China involved. And when that happens, then this guy's pretty much over and done with. But the U.S.'s Pacific Command has been investigating this and trying to figure out what kind of a missile it was fired, because it flew in a way that was unlike anything that we've seen before, and it was not consistent with an intercontinental ballistic missile. And the U.S. threat assessment has really not changed from a national security standpoint, and this is according to an unnamed U.S. official. But the Japanese defense minister said that the missile could be a new type, and it apparently flew for about 30 minutes before dropping into the sea between North Korea's east coast and Japan. And North Korea has consistently test-fired missiles in that direction before, so this is nothing new. What's new is the way that it behaved. And a U.S. official, maybe the same one, speaking on condition of anonymity, said the missile landed about 60 miles south of Russia's Vladivostok region. The U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, called the launch a message by Pyongyang to South Korea after the recent election of their new president, Moon Jae-in. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. All I know is his last name is Moon. They're kind of like the Chinese. Their last name comes first. And he took office this past Wednesday. And Nikki Haley said, you know, you first have to get into Kim Jong-un's head, which is, you know, he's in a state of paranoia. He's incredibly concerned about anything and everything around him. And she spoke on ABC's This Week program. And, of course, she was referring to North Korea's leader. And she added that the United Nations will continue to tighten the screws. And this is in reference to sanctions and continuing to work with the international community to help put pressure on Pyongyang. Now, the White House has mentioned Russia in its earlier statement about the launch. With the missile impacting so close to Russian soil, in fact, closer to Russia than Japan, the president cannot imagine that Russia is pleased. And this was released from the White House. Now, this launch has kind of served as a call for all nations to kind of implement stronger sanctions against North Korea. I don't think that's going to work. I really don't. I mean, we've tried this before, and this fat, insane kid just isn't getting the message. Now, this missile flew about 430 miles, and it reached an altitude of more than 1,245 miles. 200 miles is low Earth orbit, folks. So this thing was designed to go up into outer space and drop down. That's how ICBMs work. So this is something that we've really, really got to be concerned about. Now, an intercontinental ballistic missile is considered to have a range of more than 3,700 miles. But, again, you're getting into high Earth orbit here at 1,200 miles. That's something to really, really, really be concerned about. I don't know. What do you guys think? You know, do you think I'm full of hot air here? Or do you think that North Korea has been using Chinese technology to develop something that they can actually land a missile with a warhead capable of delivering a nuclear payload? I think that is exactly what they're trying to do. Now, experts said the altitude reached by the missile tested on Sunday meant it was launched at a high trajectory, which will limit the lateral distance of travel. Well, yes, the higher it goes, the shorter it goes. But they also said it was fired at a standard trajectory. If it had been fired at a standard trajectory, it would have a range of at least 2,500 miles. So that's getting pretty close to ICBM range. Now, Jonathan McDowell of the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics said the launch may indeed represent a new missile with a long range, and it's definitely concerning. Well, yes, it most certainly is. And this is a clear violation of everything that we have been trying to get this moron to stop doing. Now, South Korea's new president held his first National Security Council in response to the launch, which he called a clear violation of UN Security Council resolutions. And this is the guy that's supposed to be buddy-buddy with him, right? Well, it doesn't look like it's kind of going in that direction. Now, Moon's press secretary said, the president said, while South Korea remains open to the possibility of dialogue with North Korea, it is only possible when the North shows a change in attitude. So apparently, this new guy is realizing already that it ain't going to work. This guy just does not want anything to do with anyone else. He's not going to cooperate with anyone else, even South Korea, with this new president that seems to want to get along with him. He's just not going to get along. He does not play nice. Now, China's foreign ministry said that China opposes relevant launch activities by North Korea that are contrary to Security Council resolutions. So even, you know, China is weighing in on this. And, you know, this whole thing here, folks, could really lead to a major conflict. We don't know how it's going to go. And even if South Korea does buddy up with North Korea, that doesn't mean we're not going to do something. In fact, if they did buddy up with North Korea, North Korea would probably be less likely to launch a strike against South Korea to antagonize us. So this whole thing may actually work out. But we got to remember, last year it conducted its fourth and fifth nuclear tests. So this guy's not going away. We've got to keep an eye on him. It's really, really concerning. This whole thing could lead to a third world war unless the United States, Russia, and China are all in this together. Now, right now, it looks like Russia may actually start leaning towards being on our side in all this. And China realizes what will happen if something goes down between them and us, because their entire economy is pretty much based on dealing with the United States. They don't want to go to war with us. Is one little country on a tiny little peninsula worth that kind of a conflagration? I don't think so. I think the Chinese know this. The Russians know this. We certainly know this. And I think it's time to take this guy out. You know, the one thing I really cannot understand about Kim Jong-un is that god-awful haircut. Does he not realize that he is being ridiculed all over the world because of that stupid haircut? Now, he's executed members of his own family for disagreeing with him. When is he going to execute his barber? I don't know. Well, folks, it's time for me to sign off here, but as always, if you want to get in touch with me, you may do so at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Till next week, my friends, take care. This has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.